Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Movies and a Meal, a podcast where we talk about movies and other things while we eat. I'm your co-host, Ben, and as always, I'm joined by Keith.
Hey.
And Brad.
What's up?
So, two movies on the slate. First one is a movie that I can't remember, so what is it, Keith?
The First Omen.
Okay. Keith is going to review The First Omen, and then we're going to close it out with Keith and I's review of Civil War, the latest movie from Alex Garland that is drawing almost universal acclaim, I think. But let's do First Omen first. Brad, you want to hit us with what this movie's about?
All right. As always, summary courtesy of IMDb. A young American woman is sent to Rome to begin a life of service to the church, but encounters a darkness that causes her to question her faith and uncover a terrifying conspiracy that hopes to bring about the birth of evil incarnate.
Well, if we were joking off the air, I would say that reveals a whole lot, but, I mean, The Omen came out in 1976, so if you don't know the story, I don't know where you've been. And in fact, when I heard they were making another version of The Omen, my first reaction was, why in the world? Because there have already been five previous versions, and the world of horror, in particular, is full of so many other creative ideas. But I was pretty ecstatic to find out this version, and yes, I've seen them all, is the best since the original came out way back in 1976. Like Rocky or really any long-running franchise, it has varied wildly in quality through the years, and now it's back on top. So what convinced me to see this and made it so appealing? Well, never doubt the power of great reviews, because that's what initially drew me in. And what hooked me was that this stars my favorite reigning scream queen, Nell Tiger-Free. She established that cred in the fantastic Apple series Servant and just adds to it here perfectly. In the now very familiar tale, Free plays a young American woman drawn to Rome to become a nun, and as anyone who's seen an Omen movie knows, things don't go particularly well. But Free still manages to make this movie all her own as she dives full into the role of Margaret and turns this one, much in the spirit of the original, into a mystery that she slowly discovers is all about her. She's a joy to watch in this, and the cast surrounding her is very strong too. That starts with Bill Nighy, who plays Cardinal Lawrence, the Catholic priest who recruits Margaret to come to Rome. He gives that role all the smarmy charm it needs. And also great in this are Maria Caballero as Margaret's fellow young nun-to-be, Luz, and best of all, horror movie favorite Ralph Ineson as Father Brennan, who helps Margaret uncover the vast conspiracy. So if you've seen any Omen movies, or really just paying attention to movies at all, you probably know the plot here. But it's still a runner fresh thanks to Free and also director Arkasha Stevenson, making a pretty brilliant feature directing debut after a career in TV. But the horror in this is a slow burn. Stevenson and her fellow screenwriters still give it all the urgency this needs, building to the climax, it is as absolutely horrific as it needs to be. This sets up well for, yes, a seventh Omen movie, and with this crew involved, I'd be in. And this is really setting up for a great year in horror movies, with already this and Late Night with the Devil among my favorites for the year so far. And coincidentally, the rather amazing trailer for Ty West and Mia Goth's Maxine came out this week, as did one for the feature directing debut of Servant writer and director Ishana Shyamalan, The Watchers with Dakota Fanning. As for The First Omen, it's still in theaters, and if you're craving a fresh take on a true horror classic starring a scream queen on the rise, see it for sure. For all that and more, I'll give this 3.5 stars.
All right, Rotten Tomatoes, critics and audience, Keith?
You know, it is horror, but I'm going to go pretty high. I'll go 85 on the critics, and I know the fans are all about Nell Tiger-Free, as they should be, so I will go 90.
Critics, 81%, 154 reviews. Audience, 69%, 250-plus reviews.
Well, you know, they can be a little harder than horror. I get that.
The critics' consensus, courtesy of Rotten Tomatoes, frequently frightening even as it plays within the confines of a nearly 50-year-old film series, this prequel is the first omen of a bright future for the franchise in quite some time. Audience says, courtesy of Rotten Tomatoes, the first omen has plenty of spooky atmosphere and some great performances, although if you aren't in the mood for a slow burn, the pace might be a deal-breaker.
Well, it's not like there aren't monsters in this. It's not that kind of horror. But, you know, I looked at Nell Tiger-Free's IMDb, and there's nothing listed. So we'll get into the box office later. I know this is doing very well. And the end sets up perfectly for a sequel, so we'll see.
Okay, so let's go on to Civil War. This movie, like I said, is directed by Alex Garland of Ex Machina fame and Annihilation and some other movies. It stars Kirsten Dunst, Wagner Moreau, Stephen McKinley Henderson, Kaylee Spaney, right? Spaney?
Callie Spaney.
Callie Spaney.
Yeah.
And because he's in the trailer, you know, Jesse Plemons is also in this movie and some other folks. And Nick Offerman.
Okay.
Was also in the trailer.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's this movie about, Brad?
All right, summary as always, courtesy of IMDb. A journey across a dystopian future America, following a team of military-embedded journalists as they race against time to reach D.C. before rebel factions descend upon the White House.
I think I'll speak for Keith that when the first trailer came out, I don't think any of us were really enthused about seeing this movie because, you know, when you see Civil War, you see the images of the trailer, you think, oh gosh, we're really going to be like, is this just going to be like a filmed prequel of maybe what our political climate is? But I was happily surprised to learn that while it's named Civil War, the politics part isn't as much as you would think. And it's really a war movie, it's a journalism movie, and it's a road trip movie. And if they just called it war, or if they had set it in, like, maybe Ukraine or Russia, I think the movie would be very similar. So, you know, right off the bat, if you're like, oh gosh, is it really going to be, like, you know, Democrat, Republican, like, reliving? There's a little bit, and if you listen, you know, what the president, Nick Offerman, represents, who he probably represents, but... I just found it really enjoyable. This is a movie that I kind of wanted to see again if I had time. Mm-hmm. I would have seen. I saw it Thursday in the preview, and if I had more time or whatever, I would watch it again. The cast is fantastic. Most of the people that we speak about are the main cast. It's not really a big, even for a war movie, it's not that big. You know, Kirsten Dunst is great. They're all great. What did I say? Name Callie
Spaney. Callie Spaney.
Spaney. Those two in particular, and then, you know, for what they are given and what they do, you know, Wagner Moreau and Steve McKinley Henderson, also very good. It's a movie that you've seen before. If you've seen a war movie, it's very much like Apocalypse Now, or even something like Saving Private Ryan, where, again, they're going from point A to point B, and there's little vignettes of things that are going on. You know, Kirsten Dunst is the kind of grizzled veteran and reluctant mentor, and Kaylee Spaley is the, like, wide-eyed person for the first time, the rookie. You know, Wagner Moreau is like the kind of adrenaline junkie, and then you know, Stephen McKinley Henderson's character is like a guy who's, I won't say over the hill, but you know, he's just like, he's getting up there, and this is maybe his like last ride, basically. A lot of great tension in this movie. The action, when there is, there is very good and very visceral. And you know, I don't know how you felt too, Keith, but like the sound design in this, maybe because the tension is so high, like sometimes there's certain scenes, I won't give it away, where the guns just feel so loud, it makes you jump, and maybe it's because you're just so like invested and scared of what's going on in front of you, but I can't say enough good things about it, so why don't I just turn to you, Keith?
What makes the action work even more is that it comes in spurts. This is largely a road movie, and Ben's right, this is really about the aftermath. They call it a civil war, but this is really the aftermath of the verbal civil war. There's the one scene you see in the trailer with Jesse Plemons. When that plays out, it is horrific. But that's really the only time overt politics comes into it, and, you know, not only is the cast great, but it's such a claustrophobic movie when they're riding around in this car the whole time, and you think you'd get tired of it, but you really don't, because the tension slowly builds. And, you know, I love Alex Garland. This is probably his most conventional movie, but if you were to cast, you couldn't have cast this any better. You know, they're all great. Dunst is great. I really like Wagner Moore in particular, because, you know, he's just the perfect cheerleader. And Callie Spaney, keep your eye on her. It works because, for Priscilla also, she has this baby doll face. She's going to be a superstar. They're all great. And Nick Offerman, you know, he's the money guy. He's in the very first scene and the very last scene. And we'll take, probably when we take the trailers off, the real action is at the end, and it's real war action. It's fantastic. And the whole way the final sequence is structured, and there's a very impactful death, which you won't reveal now, it hits you so hard. There's one real Alex Garland moment that we'll talk about also when we take the spoilers off, in that Jesse Plemons scene. That's the only thing that really made this an Alex Garland movie. Otherwise, if you think his movies are too weird, they are very strange. I would say it's almost a mainstream, not action movie, but yeah, road journalism movie, and it should be a crowd pleaser.
I wouldn't say it's an action movie, but it's definitely a war movie. I will say too, just like, again, it's a journalism movie. Specifically, it is a photojournalism movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought a lot of Brad. It's something that you would like. I thought a lot of The Last of Us.
Okay.
Because they're just dystopian
kind of
a little bit.
It's kind of a slow burn like that, yeah. And when the action comes, it hits.
Yeah. And it is in the aftermath of whatever the you know, inciting incident happened.
It's not the apocalypse.
No,
but,
yeah. No. Well, it kind of is, but not, kind not, of, and not a zombie. Yeah. Not a zombie apocalypse. But,
well, I think we should take the spoilers off.
We should do the review first.
Oh, yes. Yeah, sorry, I forgot the order. Ben, you can go first.
4.5.
Wow. I was going to go that high. I will go 4, but I can guarantee you this will be one of my favorite movies of the year.
Before we do spoilers, so we got to do Rotten Tomatoes and all that.
I had
that,
an olive water, yeah.
Yeah, Rotten Tomatoes, critics, and audience. Ben, why don't you lead us off on this one?
I'm going to shoot for the stars. I'm going to go 97 for the audience, or critics.
No, go ahead.
And, again, because it feels divisive or people are a little scared. I don't know what they expected. I'm going to go I'm going to go like 83.
All right, Keith?
I was only laughing because off the air, I told you all that at some point it was at 100%, but that was very early. I'll go down to 90 for the critics, but I got to have faith in the people. This is a really good movie. I'll go 80.
Critics, 83%, 241 reviews. Audience, 78%, sure. 250 plus reviews.
Well, that's both positives. That's good.
Yeah. Critics consensus, courtesy of Rotten Tomatoes. Tough and unsettling by design, Civil War is a gripping close-up look at the violent uncertainty of life in a nation in crisis.
All right, so now, Brad, we can do spoilers.
Weekend box office.
Yes.
So did Civil War go on top?
Civil War did win the box office this week. $25.7 million.
That's a really good number.
I believe, if I heard correctly, it is the highest opening for an A24 movie.
Yeah. Also the most expensive, too. It was about $50 million. Gotcha. So that's good.
So they about made that back already. So good word of mouth. They'll probably make it back next week. So.
Yeah. Well, maybe not. But it definitely will make it back, though.
Usually, even a good movie will drop off maybe 40% from the initial. So, but sorry, Brad. Why don't you do the box office? Why don't you just go through the box office, we'll talk about some award prospects already. That's
fine. Number two, Godzilla and Kong, The New Empire. $15.4 million this week. Through a total of $157.9 million. Excellent. So, number three, Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire, $5.8 million this week, 4-week total of $96.9 million. Number four, Kung Fu Panda 4, $5.5 million this week, 6-week total of $173.6 million. And rounding out the top five, Dune Part 2, $4.32 million this week, 7-week total of $272.1 million. And the other movie we discussed on this podcast today, The First Omen, finished in seventh with $3.78 million, 2-week total of $14.6 million.
I thought it was higher than that, but it's not terrible for horror movie.
Okay. So, why don't you do spoilers and we'll talk about that. Right.
Spoilers! Turn away! Run away now!
Maybe it's early, but maybe not, because Dune's already out there. I mean, this has got to be a Best Picture nominee, right?
It's a little contender. Early in the year, but I think it will hang around.
Well, they've already anointed Dune as well.
Yeah, this one should be.
I would put money that maybe Kirsten Dunst will be nominated for best actress.
I think Wagner Moore too, but maybe.
Yeah. I just don't think he has enough to do. It's really about the two women. It's Kirsten Dunst and Kaylee Bailey, and she could win she could be nominated. She's for supporting.
For clarification's sake, when you say trumping, do you mean like boastful, loud?
The politics of it of just like. He's got a third term, which is illegal, and also he dissolved the FBI, they mentioned, which sounds like that, and also he ordered airstrikes on American on Americans.
He likes power.
Yes.
You know? So like Trump won. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. That's what I thought, but I was just double checking. So
he's not really boastful. I mean, we don't really see him a lot.
No, in fact, I like the beginning because he's kind of rehearsing the speech. He's not really sure himself, even though he's done all these crazy things. But yeah, you know, Ben's described it perfectly, and what it sets up. Since we're totally spoiler off, you know, no death has hit me in a long time more than the death of Lee, you know, Kirsten Dunst, and what the impact it has on Jesse, you know, Callie Spaney. Just the way the whole thing is structured when they're going to the White House is fantastic. And I really liked, it's pretty much the final shot of the movie, when they do the Osama bin Laden pose and everybody's sitting around the president with their automatic weapons and smiling. It was so America and just so perfect. But the other scene, and this one, you know, it's the one that Jesse Plemons is in. You could probably tell from the trailer, that devolves very quickly. I don't want to spoil this for you. The most stunning thing you'll see in the entire movie is when what happens to poor Callie Spaney. She doesn't die or anything, but it's so traumatic, and that was the hardest thing. I almost had to look away. But that's really the only touch of this that struck me that makes this really an Alex Garland movie, because he likes the really, really weird stuff.
It's not that weird, though.
It was very traumatic to me.
It's traumatic, yes, but it's not like Aliens came out or anything
No, but it was. It stood out, though, from everything else in the movie.
I would say yes and no. I mean, again, you know, you watch Apocalypse Now or any of these war movies. I mean, you know, there's some atrocities that are happening there. Mm-hmm. You get a little bit of taste of that in the beginning of the movie when they stop to get gas and they talk to the people who are running the gas station. And in this part, where them and some of their buddies accidentally stumble on some war crimes and a mass grave, and that's where Jesse Plemons comes in. It's the most tense-filled scene in the movie. There's part of me that's disappointed that Lee dies, but she has to die because that's what movies are, that the mentor has to pass on. It sets up the whole thing about when they're having a discussion in the beginning and Lee is just telling the other girl, who's like, look, I don't really want you here. I don't, and, you're going to compromise things like that. I mean, and, they ask the photographer, she's like, well, would you take my photo if I died? What would you do? And that moment comes full circle at the end. I wish they could have had a second to like mourn her a little bit, but also like they just got to do what they got to do. It's
there wasn't any time in that situation.
That's a war thing too. I mean, it's just like your buddy got killed, but you also have to just complete what you have to do first before you can stop and have a moment.
Yeah, and Ben talks about impactful deaths. You talk about it fairly often. You know, that one just gutted me. I knew something was gonna happen.
Yeah,
but it was brutal. Yeah. It was fantastic in some way.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a testament of good characterization that we like, and a good performance from Kirsten Dunst. I hopefully will be nominated.
Yeah.
Maybe even, I don't know.
I can't
Who knows? It's too early.
She's led a movie. It's been a long time.
She was in Power of the Dog. She was one of the leads
that's
there.
That's true.
But,
with Jesse Plemons.
Yeah.
Apparently, they're a package deal. So.
Yeah. I think he just did this for free, really. He's uncredited in the movie, actually. So.
Well, if you like Alec, just a little bit about Alex Garland, he's made two movies that are considered classics, Ex Machina, and way back in the day, he made The Beach, which he also wrote a novel of, with Leo DiCaprio. Those are his best. I put this one just below it to show you how good those movies are. Men and Annihilation are truly odd. I would only go with those if you want a deep dive. They're very strange.
Okay.
But this one, I think almost anybody would like it.
Okay. All right, so why don't we go ahead and wrap this up. So Keith, why don't you do the plugs first?
Excellent. You can reach us at moviesandameal.og@gmail.com, moviesandameal on X/Twitter, and give us a listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so for this episode of Movies and Meal, I'm Ben.
Keith.
Brad. Peace.